Welcome to United Voices, the podcast by United Way Waterloo Region Communities, where we dive into the heart of community impact here in Waterloo Region. In today's episode, my colleague Brian Cam speaks with Dr. Zeno Ojogbo, Interim Executive Director of Kind Minds Family Wellness, to explore how the organization is making a meaningful impact in the Waterloo Region. Kind Minds provides a wide range of services tailored to support the Black community, including group programs, settlement assistance, employment support, and Afrocentric counseling. We also reflect on the significance of Black History Month and the sources of hope within the community.
Thanks for coming, Dr. Zeno.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here to talk about the work that we do.
Can you tell us a little bit about the work of Kind Minds Family Wellness here in Waterloo Region?
Okay, yeah, I really like talking about Kind Minds. So Kind Minds is a Black-led, Black-serving, non-for-profit organization that serve Black community members in the region of Waterloo. What we do at Kind Minds is that we do different programming. So I'm going to list all of them. So we have groups. Groups for different demographics. We have groups for seniors, we have groups for adults, for men, for women, for youth, and we have our kids book club for children and their caregivers. And also we do workshops on equity, diversity, inclusion and belonging. So we do these workshops for community members, for organizations, for companies, for businesses who are looking to teach equity initiatives within their organization. We have system navigation. We find that a lot of people come and they need support navigating systems, navigating resources. So we also provide system navigation services as well, where people come to meet us and we provide them support within the community to meet their different needs. We provide settlement services as well for new immigrants and, you know, people that have moved here and are looking for ways to settle, ways to integrate into the community, looking for programming, looking for certain resources. We provide that for them as well. We do employment support. We find that not everybody don't have the same access to every opportunity. So we try our best to kind of bridge the gap and provide employment support to our community members. All of everything that we do is backed by research. So we have an internal research team that does research for all of our programming. As well, our research team also provides research for other organizations, companies, businesses, even the government, if they are looking to do any research within the Black community to get any form of information, we are able to do that research. And to do this research, sometimes we either do it on our own or we partner with like universities. We have partnership with like University of Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier University, where we carry out our research initiatives. And most importantly, I save the best for the last. We do Afrocentric counseling. So we bring culture into the counseling so that people don't have to feel out of place, just to center the individuals that provide counseling services to, so that people don't feel out of place. And I can say that we are one of the very few organizations within the region of Waterloo that does Afrocentric counseling.
Fantastic. And so you've summarized a number of services from sort of the one-to-one, the counseling, all the way to services, in terms of providing support to help organizations work through their equity, diversity, and inclusion work. And one of the terms that you use that I think some of our listeners may not be familiar with, but it is pretty, I think, critical based and sort of stitches together a lot of the kinds of things that you're working with your team. System navigation. Can you unpack that a little bit for our listeners about what that means?
Yeah, system navigation basically is mostly connecting people with resources. So somebody has a need and they don't know how to solve their need. So let's say somebody needs support with their children and maybe to navigate the educational system in Canada, and they need support with their children. So they basically don't know what to do, and then the system they can come to us and our system navigator can, you know, okay, let's first of all contact the school and check the website of the school first, and then maybe we can contact the principal or we can pay a visit to the school, you know, find that kind of information with them and connect them with the resources. Sometimes, especially with the schools, now we also do like advocacy. So people that feel like maybe the school system is not hearing them, then that's mm-hmm. where let them navigate up and come in and be like, okay, I'm going to step in. Maybe we can write a letter to the school. I can connect them with the person in charge of EDI within the school board, to facilitate those kind of things. We also get people come to meet us for immigration support, as an example, so our system navigator can help them to navigate such resources, support them in, and put information for them in language that they would understand, or break down information for them. And also, we don't have it all. We cannot meet the needs of everybody that comes to us. So that's it. That is where we now connect people with other resources, like other organizations. So we can say, oh, yeah, there's this organization down the road that provides these services. We can send email to the organization to let them know that we're sending somebody to them, and then they can go there and then they'll get the support that they need. So it's mostly connecting people with resources and helping them to navigate different systems that may be co too complex for them to understand and navigate by themselves.
Yeah, because I think we've all felt kind of overwhelmed with trying to get a particular sort of service, and that looks different, like for everybody. I mean, it can be apples to oranges in terms of some of the challenges different folks might be experiencing. So that navigation can provide that. I mean, you talked about there can be email connections, there could be the warm introduction. You know, being able to link somebody, connect somebody, that personal touch. That relationship, I think, is something that has come up in multiple episodes that we've had so far, where folks, the service providers are talking about the value of those relationships in trying to break down some of those barriers. Is there a story that comes to mind, or is there maybe a general example without, getting into someone's specific details?
So I'll give an example. There was this family that came to meet us. I think their kid was experiencing bullying in school, and I think the family had tried to, to mitigate the situation, and it seems like nothing was working. So when they came to meet us, we stepped in, and we wrote a letter to the principal, to the school, to let them know that this is what this family is experiencing, and we are here. We want to support them, and want to work out something such that the child doesn't get bullied anymore. The child is happy to go to school because this child didn't want to go to school anymore. Okay, so we stepped in, we booked a meeting with the principal, and we had that conversation. We also, because we know that there's an equity advisor with the school board as well, so we contacted them so that they could join the meeting as well. So they joined us in the meeting. We had the conversation to talk about what the situation was, how we can mitigate the situation, and also we came up with like a safety plan for the child. A safety plan that the school was okay with, the family was okay with, and the child could execute on, being that the child would be there by themselves. So we came up with the safety plan, and as a result of the safety plan that we have put in place, we have not heard any further reports on bullying. And this is something that the school principal revisits, and from time to time we check in to see that, okay, it's everything okay? Is everybody adhering to the plan? Do we need to make any adjustment to the plan? So this is one example. I can give another one for immigration services as well, for somebody who was struggling. Like, I think he was applying for his citizenship and he was overwhelmed with
Right.
the applications, and he just couldn't do it. So he came to us that he was in needed support, and our system navigator helped him, like supported him with understanding what the application documents were, helping him to put together, showing him what to do, and providing that kind of direction. And I think he also needed like a lawyer, because there was something there that needed a lawyer, and she was able to connect him with a lawyer that could help him too. So yeah, these are just typical examples of what we do in terms of system navigation. And sometimes the beauty of this is that sometimes when these families come to us, we are able to, when we have conversations with them, we see that, okay, these people have families, they have children, we let them know, oh, we have this program. I think your child who is a youth will benefit from this. Your young child who is in elementary school can benefit from this program. So it just, we help them with their challenge, and we also connect them to us, and they become members of our community, knowing that we are here to help them and support them. So like they attend our programs, attend our workshops, and anything that we have going on. And some of them even volunteer because they want to give back.
And part of that, like, relationship, I imagine, is, and well, and I know from, hearing from other organizations and some of my own personal experiences, but you get to know also not just someone's challenges, but their strengths, like what they're bringing and can offer. Like you're alluding to it when you talk about, and then they volunteer, and maybe they're giving back, which I think is it may be a nice segue into thinking about and recognizing, hey, it's Black History Month, and what kind of brings you and your team joy? What brings you maybe hope in terms of that? Because it's a celebration, is my understanding.
Yes. Yes, it's a celebration. So what gives us hope? And this year for Black History Month, we are focusing on all of the goods and all of the good things that Black individuals have done in the community and in the world at large, right? So what gives us hope is the success of the people, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the barriers. You know, people still find a way and they still succeed. So our relentless is what gives us hope. Like, we know that we don't give up. The people that we work with don't give up. You know, we continue to push, we continue to persevere. These are things that give us hope. To see the people that we work with succeed, these are things that give us hope and make us to continue to do the work that we do. Like, it motivates us to do more, because a little goes a long way. And also, we are now beginning to see the people that we support others. So it's like, it's exponential, you know?
Yeah.
People who support others, and it helps people to get to that point where, you know, they don't get into like a mental health crisis, for example, because there's somebody there who is tapping on their shoulder to let them know that, you know, I'm here for you, I can support you. And beyond what I can support you, there are other organizations I can connect you with that can provide you the support that you need, because there's only how much a person who is not trained can support people in terms if they are having any challenges with mental health, as an example, right? And they're like, yeah, I can connect you. And if a friend is telling you, because there's a lot of stigma around mental health, and if it comes from a friend telling you that, you know, yeah, I think connect with these people, they can support you, it's easier for that person to connect than if it were coming from like a clinician or maybe their doctor or something, you know, or somebody else. The support that our people now give to other people, and the successes and the wins that they get, is what gives us hope. And sometimes we see some people who probably have been ruled out because of one thing or the other, and we see them make a change, you know, become better, and then they're willing to give back to the community or wanting to work with other people to support them. These are the kind of things that give us hope.
And just, I was thinking about something was up on your one of your social media pages where you're talking about that Afrocentric philosophy around I am because we are. I love that, because in terms of the way that was unpacked, and I'll leave that for you to maybe unpack a little bit, but it certainly struck me as resonating with some of the other things I've heard from other organizations as well, in terms of the value there.
Yeah, and you know, there's this African, I don't even know if it's an African proverb, but of course I hear it a lot from back home, where they say it takes a village, you know? It takes a village. A typical example where there is, like, it takes a village to raise a child. So that's what it takes. It takes a village. It's all of us coming together as a community. A community cannot exist as one individual. So it's everybody coming together that makes the community. And when everybody does their part, it now provides an opportunity for the community to succeed or to do well. And another thing about community that a lot of people don't even pay attention to is that within communities, people don't want to be the one to disappoint the community. So everybody now behaves. People try to be at their best behaviors, because I would not want to be the one to be like, oh yeah, as a result of this person's action, something happened within the community that really wasn't good. As much as people come together to work together, it also helps people to be at their best behavior as well. So when they say, like, it takes a village, it takes all of us to get something done. Together, we can achieve more than if I were just alone.
Fantastic. Reflecting further on Black History Month, the value of folks seeking out, whether it's supports for themselves, if they're from the Black community, but and celebrating, but also for educating for those of us who are not from the Black community. Do you have any suggestions, recommendations for community members who are looking to kind of carry that forward even beyond this month?
Oh, yes. So this year for Black History Month, as an organization, we decided that for Black History Month, we are going to be training. So we are going to be providing a workshop for EDIB for everybody, people that work with non-identifying Black people that work with Black people, as well as even people that work with Black people, Black identified people that work with Black people. So these workshops is going to benefit everybody. And then we are rolling that out this month, but the workshop will be in March. So that's something that I would say that, you know, once we roll it out, everybody should attend, because yeah, you're going to benefit to from the workshop to support the people that you work with and the people that you serve. Like, it's important for that you know how to work with people. You cannot use one method to treat everybody, right? So everybody, the way you work with people will be different based on their intersectionalities, right? So that's why we are bringing that to teach and to train people so that they can learn and be able to work with the different people that walk through their doors as organizations, as a community, as a company, as a business, you know, yeah.
No, fantastic. So yeah, as an organization that is focused on providing culturally competent care, you're providing service to those individuals and nurturing and enhancing their ability to, take it to the next level in terms of their leadership, in terms of their engagement and involvement in communities. One of the other pieces of of comment on your social media post was just around how that phrase, "I am because we are," is intertwined with the well-being of the entire community. It isn't just about one particular community. There's actually knock-on benefits for the greater community, which is beautiful. Whether it's with, as you said, like equipping people through the EDI work you've got upcoming, the workshop you've got upcoming, or it, even folks just reaching out to, do a little research themselves to find out. Have a look at Kind Minds' website, because I think you guys have got some book lists
Yes,
that folks can sort
well,
of dig in on.
we even shared on our social media as well. Yeah.
For folks to note that they can educate themselves around things that they find of interest, because there are Black pioneers that have done some great work in many of those fields.
Yeah, that's important that people educate themselves because a lot of people assume things, you know, and people bring their biases and some of them just yeah, this is how it is and that's how it is for them, but it's not always like that, right? So we should be open to new information, open to learning, open to change, and open to working with different people differently.
And it's probably also important to say, because I've heard this before, that folks need to take responsibility for their learning and not to put all the burden for educating on the communities themselves.
So thinking about some things that we hear from the communities that we serve, you know, sometimes some people want to be able to get to a place and have their needs met in one place, I would say. I'll give you an example. So, you know, maybe a new family immigrates here and then they connect with us and they have needs like, oh, maybe it's cold, we need warm clothes, you know. We need groceries, you know, we need like we're trying to settle in, we need support to get a job. So we hear things like that, and there's only so much that we can do. So luckily we're able to get like these essential funds where it's not a lot of money, where we are able to at least use from there to buy groceries, like winter jacket, like socks, you know, warm things. We get some donations sometimes, but it's not enough. And what we are seeing is that a lot of these people are looking for a place where they can go to and have most of their needs met. Thankfully, we're able to support them by sending them again. System Navigator will send them to other places where they can, for the needs that we cannot meet, where they can get their needs. But people are trying to get to a place where they can come to one place and like a hub and, you know, have their needs met. Like I said earlier, there's only so much we can do. Another thing I'd like to mention here is a space for Black men you'd hardly find. In fact, I have not seen a place where Black men can come together, be themselves, support themselves, network. You know, we find that there are spaces for youth, there are spaces for children, there are spaces for women, but there are no spaces for men. And these men, they want to connect in an unconventional way. Men are busy, like, right? They have families to take care of, they have to work. Some of them work multiple jobs because they have to take care of their family, but they never get the space to unwind. So if there's a space for men where they can go to connect with one another, unwind, learn from one another, network especially, because in these spaces where we've seen spaces for other people, they are able to network. Oh, you're looking for a job. Oh, we're hiring. I can recommend you. Something like that, where, oh, you know, there is this opportunity here, you can apply. That space for men doesn't exist. So this is something that I'm saying here, and that if there is a space for these men, so that they can come together, network, you know, be themselves, talk about challenges that they have, talk about opportunities, learn from one another. I think that that would be really helpful. And as well, it also gives room for mentorship opportunities where They can mentor one another as well. It gives an opportunity for them to heal together as a collective, healing and providing support for one another. This is something that we are hearing. This is a need in this community, and this is something that we are hearing from community members, especially Black men.
Today we heard from Zeno at Kind Minds Family Wellness. She shared stories about the differences they're making in supporting members of the Black community and across the region. There is value in being connected to your culture and how this can in turn unlock people's strengths and capacity to help others. So what started in the story about a family seeking help for their bullied child and that had a great outcome for that family? That kind of experience is part of the building blocks of community. How might this family's experience help a friend, family member, or other community member? This month is Black History Month. There are some great local organizations you can check out on our website that have resources so you can learn more about the contributions of Black community members both here and across the country. Check out Black community-serving organizations like Rhythm and Blues Cambridge, Bring on Sunshine, or Kind Minds Family Wellness. This is something that is not a once-a-year activity. Build out your library of Black authors, or find out more about Black contributions in your own areas of interest. I've got one to share. If you're any kind of music fan, check out the godmother of rock and roll, Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
It truly does take a village. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We hope you'll continue listening and adding your voice to the conversation. Follow us on social media and please share this podcast with others. Do you have a story you want to share with the community? We'd love to hear from you. United Voices podcast is about all of us. Our voices together make the difference. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.